Guys, I've been practicing my Alicia Keys.
Of course.
Crisps. Yeah, well, they're really nice, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Balsamic flavour. So middle class. I've been practicing my Alicia Keys. I need an honest assessment. Because I think I sound exactly like her. But can you just let me know?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Bearing in mind what we talked about before about how everything I do has to be brilliant.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so. I keep on falling in. No, no, no. With you. Sometimes I love you. Sometimes I love you. That's all I've got so far.
Wow.
What do you reckon? Honest review.
Wow.
Yeah?
I have no words.
You remind me of a young Alicia Keys.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in looks and vocal talent.
Absolutely.
I knew it. Smashed it.
Stand by for audio. Got it.
And now,
the Alex Baker Show
brings you one of the most exciting events it's ever been our privilege to bring.
Here we go again.
And this is just the beginning.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
So was that her or me?
Oh, I'm out. I really don't know.
Yeah?
Oh my God, I don't know.
I couldn't, no idea.
I mean, really think about it, like...
Oh, it's so difficult to tell, I don't even know.
I can't call it.
There we go.
What can I say?
They call me the angel.
Doctor! There we go! Reza remix of Anaesthetist by Andrew Shikari off the new Hospital remix version
of the Mind Sweep. This is Kerrang Radio. We've been dancing in the studio. I'm feeling a bit out of breath.
I'm done.
We pulled off some serious moves, though.
That's it.
Man, if only this was a TV show, people just got real. Just got real.
And we went back in the house! Come on!
The Alex Baker Show.
This is Kerrang Radio. My name's Alex Baker. This is the Alex Baker Show. I'm so sorry. We've been off for so long, and apologies for the massive gap there, but I kind of broke the studio. It's the first time I've been in this studio for about 6 weeks, and it seems I've completely forgotten how to use it because I just broke one of the buttons. I'm going to get in so much trouble for that. How is that even... doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so we've been off for ages. I was on holiday for 2 weeks and I had to go away and film some TV show things, which is now on, actually. It's called Rock Stories. Check it out. It's on Kerrang TV and 4 Music. So, apologies, but we are back in the his house. It's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're back.
Hello, we're back. My name's Alex. This is Kevin Hingley.
Hello.
How are you, Kevin Hingley?
I'm all right. I feel weird. Like, I feel like it's really been a long time this time.
It has. So I'm taking my jacket off. So I'm a little bit far away from the microphone. It's difficult to check how loud I'm talking when I'm this far away from my microphone. So apologies if I sound a bit loud. But yeah. So what have you been doing with your life? I've missed you. I sent you an email saying we should hang out more. Well, I haven't seen you in ages.
What actually happened was you sent me an email with a video attachment saying, I do not remember this.
Oh.
And I really, really nervously opened it. And I was delighted with what I found.
It was me and Kev doing a rap battle in front of a whole heap of people at the Kerrang Awards.
Yeah, it wasn't even really a rap battle. It was more just a rendition of...
DJ Look at MC Neats.
Little bit of luck.
But what was amazing about
Acapella.
It, it's a bit naughty talking about this on air, but Kev was clearly really
excited.
Really excited. Super excited, in fact. And at the end, you were going like, hollow with a rinse in sound, hollow with a rinse. And there's this amazing moment where you kind of just like forgot where you were.
Yeah.
So you're like, hollow with a rinse in sound, hollow with a... And you sort of like looked around and I was like, all right, Kevin, you're like, bad boy. You kind of like kicked back in.
Started again.
It was so weird. You were just so excited.
Unfortunately, we can't share it with you because it's never going to see the light of day. It's incredibly embarrassing.
It is awful.
But you can, I hope you're enjoying us laughing at ourselves.
Yeah, it was good fun. So, so Kev's here. I'm here. And also, Renee is not here, but Lee is here. Lee in the morning. How you doing, Lee?
I'm not bad. How you doing?
Yeah. Oh, you've got quite sleepy eyes today, I have to say.
I'm not actually very well, so enjoy being in this enclosed studio with me.
Whoa. We have a no-sick policy in this studio,
and also,
actually.
Did you notice how Lee said, yeah, I'm not bad, and then you probe, and she's like, no, I'm really ill.
Oh, yeah.
It's that classic kind of, like, British trait,
yeah, no
isn't
one,
it?
No, no
or
one
Scottish, in your case.
When you ask someone how they are, no one says... awful.
Yeah.
Or not good.
I'm almost wondering whether we should start a new revolution called the Honest Answer Revolution or something along those lines.
Oh.
So whenever someone asks you how you are, because the word how are you or the phrase how are you has become almost like just something that people say. Mm. It's almost like a polite thing to say. But what's kind of the subtext of that is that actually it's not that polite because you're just saying it, you don't actually really care.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How many times have you said, all right, mate, how's it going? And then just walked off without waiting for hear their answer.
Yeah, it's just a thing like to fill the gap, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, happens all the time. So someone will go, all right, Alex, how's it going? And I'll be like, and then they'll be out the door and I'll be like, oh, actually, I was going to tell you about how I hurt my knee or whatever.
Yeah,
but they
yeah.
don't care. They're just saying it to be polite. So I reckon we need to take back the power of those words, those three simple words. How are you? The very foundation of human connection.
The how are you revolution.
The how are you revolution.
And you know what?
Writes itself.
The action needs to be on the part of the asker.
Oh, do you think?
I don't think we're talking about the person responding because, like you said, if we try and tell people to respond honestly to how are you, I don't know if it's going to work because most people aren't going to be asking them.
I only did it because you were going on about my sleepy eyes, really.
But I don't know if I agree with that, though, because that might make the asker quite aggressive. Because if you're feeling really bad now and I went, all right, Kev, how are you? And you went,
all right.
And I went, no, but really, how are you? That's like a bit intense.
Yeah, that is a bit intense.
That puts the onus on the asker to be a bit aggressive, whilst I think, or a bit like personal with space invadery. Do you know what I mean? Whilst I think it needs to come from the answeree.
Here's a possible solution.
The answerer.
How about the answerer has two options? And in this revolution, when everyone asks you, how are you? You respond with, do you want my actual answer or do you want the polite answer.
Yeah, but then that's a bit... I don't like that either.
But then no one's going to say, oh, well...
No,
right.
I don't like that, though, because that kind of implies that the person asking, that you're, like, calling them out on it.
Maybe.
Oh, you don't really care. What do you actually want to know? Or are you just being a dickhead and just being really polite? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think this is the way it should work. I think if you're feeling a bit crap and someone asks you how you are, to get the power back, get the human connection back into those three words, I think you should always answer honestly. And then over time, if people don't actually want to ask how you are because they don't want an awkward conversation, then they just won't ask. So that means over time, people will only ask how you are actually care.
If enough people do it.
Exactly. That's why it's a revolution. It's got to sweep the nation. Starting right here at the Ali Bizzle Show, 2015. November, what day is it again?
8th.
I thought we said it was the 6th. Oh, no, it's the 8th.
Get with it.
So there we go. Let's do it for the first time right here. I mean, this is not the first time anyone's been honest with that answer, but let's do it right here, right now. Lee, how are you?
I'm a bit unwell and I have sleepy eyes.
Oh, mate, stop bumming me out. I was only being polite. I know it's coming up on the show tonight. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, none of which really we've planned. Don't like clickbait? Don't click. That's one thing I'm going to be talking about later on tonight. Before anything else, though, I want to talk about something that's been going on in my life ever since I watched a documentary film on Netflix. There are other streaming services available, though I'm not actually sure that it's available on other streaming services, but, you know, whatevs, called Cowspiracy. Have either of you two heard about or watched Cowspiracy?
I've
just
heard about it.
Seen it on my, like, suggested thing, and I've never watched it.
Do you know what? I'm a big fan of a documentary film. I think they're...
A docu-film.
A docu-film. I think, do you remember we had that whole massive long conversation about whether it was biopic
or God.
Biopic?
No, let's not do that again.
Oh, dear. Feels really weird now to say biopic. That seems obviously wrong.
Yeah, because
anyway,
it is wrong.
Back in the day. Remember we did the greatest movie of all time and it lasted about two years on air?
Time.
Do you reckon we should bring that back?
Well, no, there can't be a new greatest movie of all time unless something better has come out since The Shawshank Redemption.
Well, that hasn't stopped the greatest album in the world ever, 35, and all the rest of it.
Yeah, but we know the reasoning behind that.
Money.
Yeah.
yeah, Shawshank Redemption 1. Mm. Yeah. Anything to say about that?
Pretty good movie. How are you, Alex?
I feel like you're hiding something.
It's a good film. But, I wouldn't say it's my favourite film.
Well, what's your favourite film of all time then? Pants. the Alex Baker Show list has decided this over a long protracted 24-month campaign.
Well, my favourite film is a tie up between Vera Drake and Billy Elliot.
What was the first one?
Vera Drake. It's a really depressing story.
Never seen it. And Billy Elliot.
I love Billy Elliot.
Oh, it left me feeling quite flat.
Well, then you just need to let the power of dance enter your heart.
I do. That's right. Absolutely. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I don't know, but I just can't stop thinking about
it. Cowspiracy. Well, you can't what?
I was thinking about Billy Elliot. And I was also thinking about how you can't let the spirit of dance into your heart, and yet you're a massive fan of Step Up 2.
I do love Step Up 2. I love all of the Step Ups.
Yeah.
Speaking of Step Up 2, we were clearing out our creepy basement recently, and I found a dead body! Oh my god, yes! clutching a copy of Step Up 2. No, but I found like all these old DVDs and was like a set of the whole Step Up franchise.
Yeah.
And I was like, who would throw this away so carelessly in a basement?
So you're going to give it to me as a present?
I can do.
Amazing. I don't wonder if it's haunted though. Imagine that if you're watching Step Up 2 and suddenly Channing Tatum sort of like crawls out of your... I don't even know if he's in it. I think he was. Maybe in the first one.
He didn't lower himself for the second.
He was a man.
It could be
Channing
like Tatum. Channing Reanimator.
Channing Tatum's ring two. Yeah. Oh, went too far, made it dirty. Anyway, so Cowspiracy. Can I talk about what I want to talk about, please?
Of course not.
Tangent Brigade.
Go on.
So I watched this film. Now, usually I don't get like, you know, overly carried away by what people tell me. You know, if you watch a documentary film or a YouTube thing or whatever, 9 times out of 10, there's an agenda, there's a particular thing they want to push. Do you know what I mean? So you have to take it with a pinch of salt. You can't just believe everything you see. You can't just believe everything you read. You can't just believe everything you hear. That way madness lies. So when I watched Cowspiracy, I watched it with that kind of, you know, slightly pessimistic heart, that kind of, I'm not going to take it all at face value. However, it is full of stats that I've never really heard before, and stats that absolutely blew my tiny little fragile mind. Right now, what do you guys think is the number one contributor to climate change?
Cows.
Is it not their farts?
Yeah, it's methane.
But everybody tells you that it's like industry, CO2, right? Mm. That's the stuff that, you know, we've got to figure
aerosols.
Out. Yeah, we've got to figure out how to, you know, hose pipe bans. We've got to figure out how to, like, get people to stop using so
hose
much
pipe
water.
Ban. That's like such a 90s reference. Yeah. That's the thing that happens.
Last time there was a hose pipe ban, I was still riding skateboards.
Yeah.
Had my criminal damage jeans on. Anyway, so the Cowspiracy lays it all out on the table. Now, I'm not saying all of this is true. I'm not saying all of this is false, et cetera, et cetera. However, there's all these stats from like credible sources, and they said that the number one contributor to climate change isn't just cow farts. In fact, no, it's not cow farts.
Oh.
It's animal agriculture, right? So, and there's a stat in it that blew my mind. For every one cheeseburger that's created, how many gallons of water do you think it takes?
Hang on, how much is a gallon? I'm not really good with gallons. It's a bit American.
Imagine like a big milk
bottle. A gallon is
bottle. Yeah, it's like 2.5 pints.
Yeah, like one of them big milk. Oh, like half of one of those?
Like, I'm going to go higher. I'm going to give it like 4.
Okay. To make one cheeseburger, according to Cowspiracy, there are other alternative suggestions available. One cheeseburger takes 650 gallons of water to produce.
What? Get out.
650 gallons.
Hang on, is that kind of
so when you're
considering
talking about
the entire lifespan of the cow and watering it? And
no,
everything?
No, for one cheese, so you're talking about growing, using water to grow the food that the cow has to eat.
Right.
And then drink, like giving water to that cow to drink, and then all the process of like washing stuff down and all the kind of other additives and all that business that goes into that one cheeseburger, all the water that's needed to make the cheese, everything else, 650 gallons.
But surely you get more than one cheeseburger out of a cow.
No, but that's like taking that into consideration.
Oh, okay.
That's like saying, you know, fractioning it out, how many pieces of meat you can get from a cow to make it, all that science worked out to 650 gallons per cheeseburger. Not only that, but it takes like acres and acres and acres of land every single second. Every second. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know how seconds work.
I know them well.
Every single one of those seconds, an acre of rainforest is cut down for animal agriculture.
Oh my God.
Just specifically for animal, not even for everything else.
No, specifically for animal agriculture. More than that is cut down for other stuff, but for animal agriculture, 1 acre of rainforest every single second.
See, I'd heard it was bad for like farmlands because they were just like properly like, they were just taking all the nutrients away and it was really bad, but I had no idea it had such an effect on like climate.
That's another thing as well. That's true. And not only that, but all the waste that's produced by the cows, like an unbelievable amount of cow shit is produced. And that all goes fed back into the streams, into the lakes, into the rivers, into the oceans. There's dead zones in the oceans where nothing lives because of cow shit.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And all the pollution that comes from agriculture and all the rest of it. And that's, you know, there's a moment in Cowspiracy where it talks about how if you took all the food that people generate each year to feed the cows, you could, but didn't give it to the cows, gave it to people, you'd eliminate world hunger.
Wow.
And then I watched this YouTube video and it's like 60 seconds long. And the first 30 seconds, in the time that you've been watching this, 300,000 cows across the world have been killed for slaughter. 30 seconds, right? And you're just thinking, all these stats are racking up in your brain. And you're just thinking, this is absolutely insane. And, you know, I've done some research on it. I've looked around. I can't say everything's true. I'm not saying this is all facts, but this is just what Cowspiracy lays out. And it had such a profound effect on me because for years and years and years, people have always said, oh man, you shouldn't eat meat. It's really bad. Think about the cows and the morality of it. And I've always been like, oh, that doesn't really work on me. Like, I don't not care about cows, but, you know, care about people more, you know. And if the fact is, I do care about people more, which is why this has had such a profound effect on me, because I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, there's a moment in Cowspiracy where one of the scientists says, the single biggest thing you can do in your life right now to positively affect climate change isn't like using less water when you shower. It isn't, you know, buying a hybrid car. It isn't like installing a wind farm at your house or using solar panels on your roof. It's stop eating meat.
Wow.
And not just stop eating meat, stop eating cheese and eggs and everything else that comes from, like, you know, all that stuff. And it just had such a massive effect on me that what I have done is I have now become what I've termed an optionarian.
Now,
the reason I'm an optionarian rather than a vegetarian, optionarian is not a word, I just made it up. But what optionarian means to me is that whenever it's like my option, I don't eat meat. So if I was to go to my mate's house and they cooked like lamb or whatever, I'd eat it, no problem. I'm not going to go, oh, sorry, I do that. Where's the tofu at? You know, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Or if someone like, you know, if I went to a barbecue and there was like loads of meat and I was like, oh, this is sick, I'm going to have a burger and some sausages and some bacon and all the rest of it, right? But when it's my choice day to day, I'm not eating meat anymore.
Ah, okay.
And I've done it. And I've been doing it for like 2-3 weeks and I feel fine. I'm sleeping better. Everything's cool.
Does that include like when you go to a restaurant?
It sort of does.
Right, okay.
It has so far, but I don't want to like dismiss it entirely.
Yep. Yeah.
And the way I feel about it is if I can, like, if there's 31 days in a month, if I only eat meat for like 10 of those days, that's like 20 days or 21 days that I've actually positively affected the environment. If everybody did that, like, it would have a significant impact on global warming. Because one of the things that's really scary about this film is it talks about where we're going to be in 2050, you know, and I'm starting to think about, you know, whether or not I want kids and what the future of my family is and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sort of quite afraid of bringing a kid into this world because at the moment there's 7 billion people on the planet. By 2050, there's going to be 9 billion, right? And this is one of the things they're talking about, is that we're actually now at a stage where it's almost physically impossible, without like totally ravaging the rainforest and everything else, to create enough animal food to feed the population. What's going to happen when there's an extra 2 billion people in the world? You know?
You know what, though? I've got 2 points to make here. I'll stick with the meat, the optionarian. Is that what it's called?
Optionarian.
Optionarian thing for a moment first. You talk about how, imagine if everyone did that, how much of an impact it would have on the environment, which is probably true. But also, what impact would it have on the economy? Mm. Because, the meat industry, and it'd have an impact on just the general evening entertainment industry. That's not the right word at all. That sounds really saucy. But I know what I mean. Like,
TV and radio and everything else.
Yeah, it would be a real problem. Like, think about fast food restaurants, the number of people that are employed by them that would suddenly be laid off.
Yeah.
If the big fast food restaurants' profits halved within a month.
Big trouble.
They would
yeah.
close restaurants and sack people, no question.
Yeah, they would, yeah.
They just would. And that impact is very far-reaching. However, it is, of course, a bit idealist anyway, isn't it? We're not really expecting that everyone's going to suddenly adopt your new mantra. The other point I wanted to make is that of colonisation.
Hit me.
So I have actually, for a while, thought this, and now that you've kind of spoken about that, I think it even more. In that we talk about space travel and things like that, right?
The final frontier.
And which seems to have kind of, this year specifically, like, I think this year has been the year of space, certainly for our lifetimes.
I think they're ramping up.
Which is interesting, because for a few years before it, I was getting really bummed out, because I was like, oh, it's like no one cares about space anymore. We're never going to get to space.
Yeah.
Because like when I was a kid, there was a lot of stuff happening, quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had
gone a bit quiet.
Yeah, and then they even like talked about ending the space program and stuff. But yeah, this year anyway, it's been sick. Loads of space activity. You know, we've flown past Pluto for the first time, got all these amazing images and stuff. So, you know, colonization is something that's not actually science fiction anymore. It's something that's within a grasp, maybe not our lifetime's grasp, but, you know, it's reasonable to start thinking about it.
It's already happened in The Martian, the new film by Matt Damon.
Well, there you go. And wasn't there a shocking number of people that thought that was all true as well?
Really?
Something, because God's it happened sake. The same week as the Mars stuff. So everyone got confused. Anyway, what I think is...
Well done, British population.
We either should or probably maybe will, I think, when we first colonise somewhere, be it the moon, or Mercury, or Mars, or whoever. I imagine the moon is probably the first option, realistically.
Which one would you want to colonise if you could choose any?
Venus.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh, like Venus. That's interesting.
I don't know why. I
think I'd go for Venus as well.
Oh, Venus buddy.
Yeah. Venus bros.
But anyway, I think we should, and maybe probably would, colonise for agriculture's sake before humanity's sake. So I think the first colonies off-world will be farms. I think they'll use the space and whatever resources they can either utilise or create to lift the load of farming.
I don't think they will, because of the amount of time it would take to transport that back to the world, to Earth.
But are we thinking that by the time that we've managed to colonise these like farms, that space travel has also... improve? Because it must have done.
Well, it got quicker, I suppose.
Because if you think about where we are now, like 50 years ago, people would never have imagined flying past Pluto.
Yeah, that's true.
But now we've done it. So here's my thing with this, and I've heard all this as well, like it's really bad for the environment because it's just industrialization generally is, because we've made just an absolute dick of the whole thing, essentially.
That's true.
Are they saying that there is no, like, environmentally friendly way to have like animals sort of slaughtered, essentially? Is it just that we can't ever have meat again, or is it just that we are doing it in such a way that it is causing so much damage?
I think, right, so it doesn't actually make that distinction, but I think some people, there's a guy in the film who says you cannot be someone who eats products of animal agriculture and be an environmentalist. The two things are separate. You're either an environmentalist, someone that cares about the planet, or you eat animals and take part in animal agriculture. So that's just like what one person says. The overall documentary doesn't necessarily say that. I think probably it would be stupid to assume that we couldn't have at least some sort of level of sustainable animal agriculture. But although they do talk about the seas, and there's a whole bit about Sea Shepherd, you know, the charity and stuff like that. And they talk about how there's no such thing as sustainable fishing.
Yeah.
Like, there's too many people that want to eat fish for the amount of fish that there are in the ocean. It's just not sustainable, no matter how you cut it, basically. Yeah. And especially when you're thinking about future projections and how many people there's going to be in 2050 and beyond. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that we could get to a situation where we are able to eat meat, but people are kind of doing it sensibly and not every single day. You know, and I started thinking about how much meat I eat. When that bacon thing happened as well, they came out talking about how bacon gives you cancer and ham products and stuff like that. I started thinking to myself, do you know what? I've eaten ham probably 5 times a week for my whole life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And to suddenly find out that those sort of products can give you cancer, like, it's pretty frightening, you know? I've eaten a lot of ham. I used to run around my house with ham on my hands and call myself Ham Man. Seriously, that's how much I loved ham. I used to be like, Ham Man's here! My mum would be like,
The environment!
I used to literally do that. Ham Man.
Well, do you know what else I've heard, actually? So do you know how that cow's milk, everyone says that cow's milk's really good for your bones, it's full of calcium. I've actually heard a lot of people recently, and once again, I don't know if this is true, this is a lot of people disputing this, that it's actually really bad for you and it causes osteoporosis.
There's a guy in the film who says... He's a doctor and he's vegan and he's talking about... So the guy says, do you need milk in your diet? The documentary maker. And the guy goes into this big, long speech about how... Actually stop to think about what milk is. And he says, milk is a product lactated from the teat of a mother cow that's the perfect nutritional balance to make a small calf into a massive cow. Why the f***? Does a human want to drink the piece of product that is perfectly nutritionally balanced to turn a small calf into a massive cow? Like, what do we need that for?
I know, because think about it. We stop, like, breastfeeding at about the, let's say, give it a high, about 2.
Yeah.
You really don't anymore, but then we drink cow breast milk for our entire lives.
Our whole lives. And he says that. He said, if I put a bottle of breast milk on the table now, would you drink it? And he's like, no. He's like, well, why are you drinking the milk from the teat of a completely different species over drinking the milk from the teat of your own? Isn't that a bit f***ing weird? And everyone's like, yeah, that is a bit f***ing weird. Do you know what I mean?
But I guess the milk that we drink is so far removed from what actually comes out of a cow, isn't it? That's the thing.
It's, well, it's like, filtered and processed.
Yeah, so much happens to that as a product that you would never think about it like that, I suppose.
Yeah. I just find that interesting, though. It's like, because it's been said to us for so long, you know, milk gives you healthy bones, it's full of calcium, it's really effective, but now everyone's going, no, it's really bad for you.
It does the opposite.
You're not meant to continue drinking breast milk as a human off another human after the age of, like, 2, but yet you're doing it off another, like you said, another species for your whole life. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I am drinking cow milk.
It's weird. But I don't know. I haven't got the answers, as usual. But I just thought it'd be interesting to let you know where my head's at the moment. Oh, and incidentally as well, I've got to go to a break in a second, but the reason it's called Cowspiracy is because at the start, he goes around to all these major organisations and says, with his facts that he's got from, like, the World Health Organization or whatever, he's got these facts from somewhere that's, like, a reputable source. I can't remember what it's called, like, United Nations or whatever it is. And he's like, so what's the number one cause of climate change? And they're all like CO2, industry emissions. And he's like, well, what would you say if I told you that was wrong and it was actually this? And they go, oh, no comment, don't know, no comment. And he, like, tries to get interviews with, like, Greenpeace and they're like, nah, can't give you an interview. And he's like, well, why not? You're like, surely you want it. And they're like, no, sorry, we can't help. And there's all this stuff that goes on. And you're just thinking, and basically he gets to a point where he's like, why is nobody accepting this? Like, no, and nobody does. Apart from the people that have, like, now don't work for those organisations or are able to sort of talk freely about it. It's really weird. So if you never hear from me again, you know why. don't want to mess with big business. So that's actually a good point. Bearing that in mind, forget everything I just said, carry on eating meat and drink loads of milk so that you keep the top dogs happy. Right, coming up, I've decided to do a brand new feature called A Guide to Being a Modern Man, but I'm sort of struggling whether or not to call it A Guide to Being a Modern Person. So I'm still not sure where I'm at with that. I think I'm going to stick with man.
How about A Guide to Be a Human?
Guide to Being a Human. Don't know. Let's play a break and have a think.
A guide.
Just to anything. Solid feature name, bro.
Excuse me for interrupting, boys and girls, but maybe you would like to find out just what it would be like if there were no rules.
But how could we do that?
By going someplace where there are no rules.
Now, where could that be?
The Alex Baker Show.
Paranormal Radio.
Let's all think real hard and pretend. pretend we're in a faraway place.
Where anything goes and nothing is off limits.
Now, come on.
Let's go to the world of
the coolest
broadcast transmission
this world
has ever known.
Everyone knows his name.
He's as crazy as a coot.
People all over the world are losing their damn minds.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Are you ready to rock?
He knows he must be stopped before he fulfills his terrifying mission.
I don't think there are any words to describe
how very inappropriate
his radio
shows really are.
He's never going to admit it.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Remember, don't try this at home.
He is seriously twisted.
He's the man with the records.
Anything goes and nothing is off limits.
If you can't handle it, turn the channel.
Listen to this man.
He bit Dakota Fanning on the face.
He just wants to play.
The person I'm about to introduce needs no introduction.
Yeah.
So please give a warm, hormonal shriek for the sizzling hot.
Actually, how are you all? Hope you're feeling absolutely marvellous. Apologies again, yet again, for being off for so long. Apologies yet again for the podcast getting behind. Kevin, podcast extraordinaire,
we've
man.
We've got a meeting.
We have got
right, this
actual
is,
meeting.
That, I know we always say, whenever we come back on the show, oh, we're totally going to sort the podcast out, we promise. But now we've got something, some paper, some ink, not paper, on a computer, in a diary.
Tuesday the 25th or 24th?
Something like that.
It's actually a happening. Meeting. An actual meeting. We're the podcasting company. It's going to be amazing.
The Alex Baker Show.
Correct Radio.
A real, actual meeting.
Going to happen.
Time for a brand new feature to the show tonight. It's called A Guide to Being a Modern Man. I think I'm going to stick with man because I don't know why, but maybe we'll change it down the line. Maybe it'll evolve. So I've realised that over the years, the landscape has changed. When I was a kid, it was really very simple. You did nice things for girls, and that was the way it was, pretty much. Be a gentleman, do nice things for girls.
Are you going to talk about the Starbucks thing?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Do you not know about the Starbucks thing that
so
happened this
no.
week?
No, I don't. Tell me.
Do you want me to tell you now, or do you want me to wait and see what you're going to say?
Hit me, because it might add some more fuel to the fire.
So a thing happened this week whereby a girl went into a Starbucks, there are other coffee shops available, including Costa, Cafe Nero, the like. Pret-a-manger.
I can't think of any others.
Cafe Patisserie.
Patisserie Valerie.
Patisserie Valerie, that's the one. Anymore?
Well.
Drucker's.
Drucker's.
If you're old.
Mook Cafe at McDonald's.
Yeah, fair enough.
That.
Yeah. Or even do it yourself. Nescafe.
Yeah.
You know.
Gold Blend.
Whatever. Waitrose Instant.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Marks and Spencer's Coffee.
Yeah. You could grow some coffee plants.
You could.
I don't know if you could do that in this country, but you could do it somewhere.
You could try if you get the right lamps. There's a shop you can... No, nothing. Anyway, what were you saying?
So anyway, a guy went into a Starbucks. There are other coffee shops available, like Costa, Cafe Nero.
Yeah!
A girl went into a Starbucks.
Oh,
right. A girl. Let's call her Sarah.
Worst storyteller ever.
I can't remember her name. I'm going to call her Sarah. It might be Sarah, it might not. She orders a coffee. As happens in Starbucks,
yeah.
The barista serving her happens to be a dude and writes her name on the cup, mm-hmm. right, as they do. But then also, at the bottom of the cup, you might have seen this on certain, you know, takeaway cups, where it says something along the lines of, warning, this carton is extremely hot.
Yeah.
He, in his pen, had crossed out certain words and letters so that it said, you are extremely hot. And like put a little arrow to it and a smiley face.
Cheeky.
Right? Quite, yeah, cheeky. Exactly.
Cheeky.
That was the thing I thought. I did not in any way think.
Not predatory.
No, not predatory, not harassing, not creepy, not wrong, just cheeky.
Might be a little bit
well,
creepy.
Well, maybe.
Go on.
But anyway, the girl told her mum about it. She wasn't happy. She happened to be engaged anyway. But the girl didn't seem to have that much of a problem, but her mum kind of kicked off.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people on social media started kicking off about it. The girl said, oh, he's out of luck because I'm engaged, but, you know, fair play for trying, something like that.
Yeah, so she wasn't that bothered.
Yeah, which was would kind of be my attitude. I thought, I like that he's sort of tried to do something creative. It's not the best chat up line in the world, but
no.
Fair play for having a go.
Better than go to the Stairway to Heaven or whatever
yeah.
the hell.
But, but yeah, her mom was saying it's like harassment and he's crossed the line and all of this kind of stuff.
Mm.
which I think is a bit weird. And I think things like that happening, I almost worry that that would have a more negative effect and cause, you know, particularly young impressionable males to really worry about trying to do nice things for people that they like.
May I interject?
You may.
So, here's the thing. It was, I'm sure that he was very well-meaning and he obviously did not mean any offence. However, that if that happened to me and there was just a random guy who I had never met, all I was asking for him was to serve him my coffee, and he took that upon himself to then go, oh, you're extremely hot. There's a difference between giving someone a compliment, like someone is like, if he'd said to the girl, I just think you look really nice today, I think that's fine, but sort of doing it on, when it's kind of unwarranted like that, I can understand how people would get a little bit uncomfortable. But it is, as you said, it's kind of, it's personal response to it. I would be a bit like, that's a bit weird. Yeah. Like, I once had a guy stop me in the street and came up to me, grabbed my arms, and I just had to say, you look so gorgeous today, and then walk away. And that really freaked me out.
Yeah, especially if he's grabbing you.
Because, yeah, and it's sort of like, and this is going to sound really like naggy, but it's like, girls don't have to accept your compliments.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, you might think you're being really nice, so I'm only being nice. Like, but you don't have to be, and we don't have to accept it.
Yeah, sure.
So, although I do think it's weird that her mother got upset rather than her, because if she'd been upset, then she had a right to. So it's kind of like,
yeah, but that's
another
protective
woman.
That's a protective instinct, though,
I
isn't
do
it?
Get
it's
that.
Your daughter.
And then it's sort of like another woman being like, I'm going to, so I understand why she got upset.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do get that. But I mean, it's not like, in one stage, you know, always have men when they like catcall women in the street and they're like, oh, I can't even say hello. It's like, if you don't understand the difference between shouting nice tits at your car and going up to women and saying hello, then that is your own problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So do you think, Lee, that it's kind of a problem of environment in that it wasn't the right environment, that she was there to buy a cup of coffee?
Yeah, I would say that if he'd maybe just said, oh, you look really nice today, could I get your number? Or something like that, then that would be fine. Because it's an environment where maybe she's not kind of prepared and it's kind of...
Do you know what I think?
But she wouldn't have been prepared if they were just...
No. But do you know what I think? I think the reason it's a little bit not right is because he hasn't had to put himself out there at all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're a guy and you want to, like, tell a girl that you think that she's pretty, if you, like, say that to her yourself, you're, like, putting yourself into that situation. So you're sort of putting yourself on the line and going, oh, okay, this makes me feel really awkward, but oh, I think you look really pretty. And then if they go, oh, sorry, I've got a boyfriend, then you kind of go, oh, okay. And it's kind of a bit awkward for both of you. But
right.
If you just write it on a cup and give it to someone, you've done, like, the sort of p***y way out, really. And it's only her that feels uncomfortable. So there's not that kind of awkward trade-off, which kind of makes it worse, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Catcalling, you know, they're putting themselves out there, like people that catcall.
No, but they're not really, because they're just driving off, aren't they?
Oh, I suppose.
They're not there to sort of like, they don't have to accept any kind of comeback from it.
But once again, would it not be really weird if you were just walking down the street and someone, rather than shouting from a car window, just walked, stood in front of you, looked you in the face and said, all right, you look amazing.
That would be really weird.
When wouldn't it be weird, I think, is the problem,
isn't
it?
It's weird both times.
Yeah.
And the issue is, and I've had men get really grumpy when I've said this to them. It's just like I said, it's like, we don't have to accept your compliments. And like, make me feel like shit. And you're like, oh, but I'm only trying to say hello and I'm only trying to say you look nice. That's all very well and good. But actually, you know, you're not entitled to anyone's time.
That's
or
true.
Anyone's response. So
you've not invited
up,
them into your world, have
yeah.
you, to sort of say?
And for me personally, if I'm out and someone comes up to me and they say, excuse me, and like, I have no problem with someone like asking me, like if they want to ask me out or like a number, that's fine. But it's when someone just assumes they can go up and be like, oh, you're really fit. It's just like,
yeah, it's just a bit sort of sexually aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's that sort of entitlement that, you know, I can go and invade this person's space that they probably wouldn't do to someone else.
Tricky. Well, this all feeds in very nicely to the brand new feature here on the Alex Baker Show called A Guide to Being a Modern Man. Because I have noticed that things have changed. You know, I've always thought of myself as being a modern man. I've always been like a gentleman and always thought of wanting to do right by women and by other guys. And so I've never really felt the need to do this for myself. But equally, I do think the lines have got a bit more blurred over the years. I think, like, so one case in point, I think we talked about this in the show when it happened. I mean, this happened a bunch of times, but there was one particular time where I felt so confused and so kind of, what do I do in this situation? Because I was in a train station and there was a big long thing of stairs, and there was a girl with a big suitcase who was coming up to the bottom of the... She was, like, wheeling it, and she was coming up to the bottom of the stairs. I remember thinking, that suitcase is almost as big as her, right? And that is it's clearly heavy, because you can tell, you know, you can just tell the weight of something when it's being dragged along. And I had this moment where 10 years ago, I would have gone, oh, I'll get that for you, no problem. And up we go, you know, no big deal. But now, I have this kind of fear that if I offer, it'll be, there might be people that might turn around and say, what, so I can't carry my own suitcase because I'm a girl? Do you know what I mean? And there's that kind of like, I think the line, that's a really basic example, but I think the lines are getting blurred. And so what actually happened in that instance is I didn't offer my help. And then I like looked back as I went past her, I looked back down the stairs, and she was struggling with this case. And I just thought, I just should have asked her. And I like kicked myself, but then it was too late to go back and say, oh, actually, can I help? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it was a really awkward situation. So I just kind of like thought it might be worthwhile doing a feature on this show where we kind of address these issues. And actually, that Starbucks thing's kind of a good issue. I think it'd be interesting for us. We haven't actually got time now. But I think it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting for us to get to the nub of that and actually talk about what people should do in that situation.
Because do you remember as well, I know we told the story before, but do you remember the film screening incident?
No.
And the bottle of water? When me and you went to the film screening and there were two girls sat next to us and she had the bottle of water.
Yeah, and she couldn't get the cap off.
And this was quite the opposite situation to that, wasn't it? Because I can't remember exactly how it went down, but I'm sure she was struggling and you were thinking, oh, should I offer to help? And you thought, no, I won't. And then about 5 minutes later, she turned to you and said, excuse me, could you help me with this, please?
And
almost like suggesting that you should have offered.
But I don't know. I don't know if she was, but the only emotion I remember feeling when she said, oh, can you help me with this, was like absolute relief. Yeah. I was like, oh, thank God, of course I can. Thanks for asking me. Oh, God, you don't understand the torment I've been going through watching you struggle with that bottle. That's literally what it was like. Yeah. That's what I didn't say any of that to her, but that's what I wanted to say. Because she was there for ages and I just felt like such a dick for not offering. But she was like, oh, this is difficult to describe, but she's like very able. She was very sort of young and vivacious and looked like she could take care of anything. And I didn't want to sort of go there and sort of belittle her and say, oh, stupid woman. You know, not that I would have ever said it like that, but I wouldn't want it to come across.
And the difference
like that
between you and I is
so confusing.
The difference between you and I is I wouldn't have offered in either of those situations because I would have known in my heart of hearts that I would have had more of a struggle than they would have to either open the bottle of water or drag the suitcase and would have made a fool of myself.
Well, that's the worst moment though, isn't it? When obviously handed it over, I could.
Yeah, he's like,
I remember psyching myself up. I remember thinking to myself, failure is not an option. This bottle cap has to be removed, otherwise it's game over.
I would say I've had people like offer to pick up things for me, and I always take it just as a politeness. I don't take it as a guy being like, oh, come on, little lady, I'll get that for you.
No,
like,
it's that's good to know.
And normally, and like, honestly, the majority of girls, well, I think that's a funny kind of, that's sort of like one of the arguments, like, oh, bloody feminists, they hate men being polite. Actually, I think that's a really weird thing, because I don't know any women that wouldn't be, they might still turn you down and say, oh, no, thank you, I'm fine.
But
they wouldn't necessarily be like, oh, what, like, I can't lift my own case, I can't take off my own body.
I'm sure they probably wouldn't, but I'm sure there's probably some that probably would.
There might be, might be.
I think in this case, that is the answer. That is the closest we're going to get to answer to this particular conundrum of this feature, is that you probably should just offer. Because most people will be all right with it. You might, get one or two, but what's the worst that's going to happen? At the end of the day, most people just think you're being polite because that is genuinely what you are being. And when I think about it, I think I probably, like, joking aside, I probably would generally offer in the same way that I would offer for if I saw a guy struggling with a big suitcase.
Yeah.
If I knew I was in a position to help, I would offer just for the reason of I'm a nice
helping
person.
Helping people out.
And I'm prepared to defend myself on that as well. If someone had a problem with it, I was like, oh, sorry, I just wanted to help. Yeah, no worries. Leave you to it. See you later.
Yeah, stop being such a crazy woman about it.
Yeah, if you're on a bus or something and there's someone who's pregnant, then you'll probably offer them your seat and they might turn you down or might not. And then you're just like, okay, it's fine. But I think everyone always appreciates that you have at least made the effort to think about it.
I really value.
You should have shouted back to that girl, I was going to ask you, but sorry.
Yeah.
I'm having an existential crisis, so I can't, but
I really was.
I want you to know that I would have.
Had I not been so messed up in this point in time, But no, one thing I really value, now I don't know if they've got them everywhere in the UK, I really, really value those baby on board badges.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they should be just compulsory almost.
Because
you know?
Sometimes I feel, and this is my trouble with old people, because...
How old is old?
Yeah, I don't want to be offensive and go to someone who's like 60 and in perfect health.
Yeah.
To then go, do you want this seat? And they go, no, I'm fine.
But it also goes the other way. I'm telling you what, it also goes the other way. Because this is another thing. This is one for next time. So we won't talk about it now. But I'm going to set it up and next week we'll talk about it. What happens?
In fact, get your thoughts in now.
Get your thoughts in next week. Hit us up on Twitter at Kerrang Radio, facebook.com/Kerrang Radio. What happens in this situation? Now, I'm quite a big dude. Not only am I a big dude, but I spend a lot of time working. So I'm always really tired. And I've always like, you know, just don't take care of myself enough and all the rest of it. Sometimes I'll get on the train in the morning, and my train now, it's not, you didn't used to be like this, but it is now. My train now is often quite busy, so you don't always get a seat. But if I don't get a seat, it's about 40 minutes into town, so I've got to stand for 40 minutes. And you know what? I'm a big dude. I get a bit tired. You know what I mean? If I've only had like 4 hours sleep, and I've got to stand in this sweaty train. So sometimes I'll get a seat, I'll sit down, and then like someone will come in. They won't be like pregnant or whatever, or they'll just like be a woman or like a slightly elderly woman or something like that. And I'll have this moment where I think to myself, what do I do? Do I offer my seat or do I not offer my seat? And then I have to kind of almost play this merry dance in my head where I'm trying to figure out whether they're in better health than me. Do you know what I mean? And I don't like the fact that you have to, that the sort of society tells you that you should give your seat up. Because I'm telling you now, there's a 60-year-old woman on my train who's probably about between 60 and 70, and she looks like she's going to live longer than I am. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want to get up and give her my seat when I'm going to be absolutely knackered, and she'll probably be all right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So what do you do in that situation? We'll talk about that next week. Got to go to a break.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Alex Baker Show. Hope you're feeling absolutely marvellous. It is a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night if you're listening to the repeat, and it has been a very much a pleasure to be the voice in your ear. Kevin Hinkley's here.
Hello.
And Lee Mayer's here. Mayer or Meyer?
Meyer.
You never get that right.
You get it wrong every time.
Why do I never get that right? It's not that difficult.
Can I make a confession?
Mm-hmm.
When I, before I'd actually even met you face to face, when I'd just seen your name, as you do when you work in an organisation like this, you see people's names on emails, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was Lay. I thought your name was Lay.
It has been
Lay Mayer. That's what I thought your name actually was, Lay Mayer.
I want to lay you down on a bed of roses, but it's in a platonic way that's not feminist hating.
Well, I can't lie down my own rosebuds.
Yeah.
No, people have pronounced it every which way. It's kind of, it's just one of those names, I think, that people tend to get wrong.
Mm, I like having Lee on the show.
Ah, guys.
Lay?
I think, whatever. Whoever this girl is. I think you should come back more often.
I'd love to come back more often.
I think you should. We'll make that happen. Right, so we're actually out of time, believe it or not. That's it. We've talked about cows. We've talked about the end of the world. We've talked about, what did we just talk about for ages?
Like trains helping and
people.
Coffee.
Oh, helping people, trains, coffee. We covered a lot of topics.
Yeah.
It goes topic heavy. So we'll be back next week. Download the podcast. Are we going to have the podcast ready?
It's a bit soon to say that.
Even on the old system?
You can,
should we just get one up?
If you want.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Should we make a promise to ourselves
that'll
to do that?
That'll happen soon.
Yeah.
But if not this week, we've got a meeting on the 24th, so that's something to look forward to.
The 24th isn't even next week, though.
Well, yeah, but that's
We've got about 15 shows.
It's just, more than that, I think.
Just waiting to be uploaded.
I'm waiting for you to edit them. I'm good. I can upload them whenever, anytime, mate.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, bear that in mind, everybody. Kev's fault. I think that's it. I think we're done. So loads of things happening this week on Kerrang Radio. Kate Lawler's going to be in at whenever the hell she gets in, 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday. And then it's Jake, unfortunately. And then Loz, which is great. And then more of the same. It just repeats again and again, not the same stuff.
When does the other new thing start? Can we talk about the other new thing?
It's already started, mate.
Has it?
Kerrang Gaming Show.
When did that start?
Started on Friday.
Obviously, I knew all about it.
Obviously.
Tuned in,
checked it out.
Loved it. Great show, mate. Really good.
Thank you very much.
Can't
Thank
wait
you.
To be on it.
Love Kerrang, that other new thing.
Kerrang yeah. Gaming yeah. Show. It's a new, brand new show every single Friday. It's also repeated throughout the week, so you get lots of opportunities to listen to it. It's myself, it's Loz, it's Kevin. Not always on the same show at the same time, you know, so we're going to mix it up.
Clearly.
Sometimes it'll be me and Kev. Sometimes it'll be, because the first time it was me and Loz. Kev's really bitter about it. I was like, oh, dude, Kerrang Gaming Show. And he was like, what about it? Oh, I wasn't on it. Why didn't I get invited? But you are going to be invited,
yeah,
obviously. Me and Kev, me and Loz, Loz and Kev. I might not even be on it. It might just be Kev and the guy from IGN.
That won't happen.
Sitting around with the guys from IGN, the biggest gaming website in the whole world, talking about gaming. So if you love gaming and you love Kerrang, well, hey presto, alakazam, you're f***ing welcome.
Huh? Yeah, I give me that.